This is Jay Sekulow. The confirmation of Judge Kavanaugh enters phase three.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I was very troubled by the tone of the remarks. The interaction with the members was sharp and partisan, and that concerns me. And I tell myself you'd give a little leeway because of what he's been through. But on the other hand, we can't have this on the court.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
So my hope is that just beyond the vicious partisan rancor that is going on, beyond the accusations, we don't lose sight of what this moral moment is about in this country. And ultimately ask ourselves the question, is this the right person to sit on the highest court in the land for a lifetime appointment when their credibility has been challenged by intimates, people that knew the candidate well as a classmate, when his temperament has been revealed in an emotional moment where he used language that frankly shocked a lot of us.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I said this yesterday, and it proves, I think, to be correct today, and that is this nomination of Brett Kavanaugh has gone through now three phases. Phase one was an attack on judicial philosophy. That was those that opposed the way that Judge Kavanaugh would rule and the way he views the Constitution, and that was the normal thing you have in these Judiciary Committee hearings. That was not able to knock Judge Kavanaugh off from looking like a confirmation. So that's phase one. Phase two of this issue went to the allegations on sexual assault. There's an ongoing FBI investigation that may be wrapped up as early as today. I think what I'm hearing in the media, and that's all the sources I have on this, is that it doesn't appear to be any, at least right now, no corroborating evidence, credible corroborating evidence of Dr. Ford's story. Not saying that she wasn't traumatized or that a horrible thing may well have happened to her, but there doesn't appear to be corroborating evidence on that one. It doesn't appear, although we haven't seen it yet, to be corroborating evidence on the Ramirez matter. That's why you're seeing now phase three. And you heard phase three in the beginning of this, and that is now judicial temperament. So now they're going to the way in which he was asked questions and responded in his hearing. And even Senator Flake used the phrase it was too partisan. Look, here's the reality. It's become partisan because of the nature and scope of the attacks that were made on him. No matter which side of this issue you're on, whether you think Brett Kavanaugh should be confirmed or should not be confirmed, the fact is it's become partisan because of the way the Senate has conducted this hearing.
Yes, that's right. I mean, this has become an extremely partisan confirmation. They've all been. I mean, let's remember that Neil Gorsuch, though, was much calmer than this. The nuclear option had to be used because there were not going to be enough Democrats to invoke cloture to get over the filibuster, even in a very calm confirmation process because of his judicial philosophy, a phase one approach.
Right.
They were able to maintain their ground there. Republicans called their bluff. On this, they had to go into these further phases to put that into question. Not 60 anymore, but can you get to 51? And we're at a point today where that is not, no one could be with any certainty and say, yes, we can still get to 51 on this. There's no, anybody you're hearing that from is wrong. I'm not saying that can't happen, but the potential is, again, I think very questionable about if you're trying to make claims today. The big question to me is, do we get to a vote before this week is up, which is this weekend?
Let's go right to Than Bennett on that. So what is the latest on the time frame? We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. What is the latest on time frame?
Yeah, Jay, I still think we get to a time to a vote this week. Leader McConnell took to the floor of the United States Senate just a couple of hours ago and again promised an up or down vote to the American people on this nominee. I think there will probably be cloture filed tonight, Jay, and then votes on Friday or Saturday is my guess. But I do think Leader McConnell is serious about taking the vote. And let's say it straight. The American people deserve to hear from the United States Senate on this. The United States Senate needs to take that vote up or down. That's their job under the Constitution.
All right, we're going to take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, get your comments in there as well. It's a good way for you to do it. 1-800-684-3110. Or if you're on Facebook or on Periscope, put in your comments there. Our social media team is monitoring that. We'll be back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment. A lot going on. The confirmation fight for Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So let me reset this up for everybody. Phase one was judicial philosophy, the normal things you have in a confirmation battle. Harry, that's the normal thing you have. That took place here. That was not successful in knocking him out as a nominee.
Absolutely. So Judge Kavanaugh handled himself extremely well during that phase.
That was the first set of hearings folks, we're talking about.
He was before the United States Senate for 32 hours answering questions. There was a follow-up. He answered 1,300 written questions. He met with each senator who was prepared to meet with him. And so all of the senators, if they were honest, would agree that he is well qualified, but for his judicial philosophy. And so then the Dems were prepared to move into phase two.
Okay.
And so
I think they're in phase two still, but they're also into phase three. That's my sense.
Precisely correct. So they have in their back pocket a phase three and possibly a phase four.
Well, I'll tell you what phase three is in a moment. Phase two, Andy, was the allegations on sexual assault. Now, the reports are right now that the FBI may well be done with their background check today. What does that mean to you? What does it mean? Tell our audience what that means. What's now happened if it is, in fact, finished?
If, in fact, it is finished, they have now taken all the leads that they're going to take, all the people they're going to inquire of, all the questions that they're going to ask, and they have asked those questions and they have committed them to writing in the form of a Form 302, wrapped it up, and are ready now by the end of today, which is Wednesday, right, to turn that over to the Senate, to each of the senators who will have the documents, and then no doubt those are going to be leaked. Yep. I don't have any doubt about that. But the FBI should have concluded its background check.
So that's phase two. So assuming there's no credible corroborating evidence, you're in phase two, into phase three. We now are in phase three, though, Jordan, without question.
Yeah, you're preparing for it because they're preparing for there not to be. I mean, if they want this fight, if they want to win this fight, they have to prepare for to have to move on in a different strategy. So they've already done that. Their greatest hope would be something's in this report that sinks in and that's it. It's over.
But it doesn't. But up right now, it doesn't appear to be the case.
I mean, that hasn't leaked. Nothing is leaked that indicates that right
well,
now.
Well, and here's what Senator Booker said, because this, I think, tells you that they are moving to phase three because I don't think they think that the FBI reports are going to be productive for trying to knock out Judge Kavanaugh. Here you go.
Ultimately, not whether he's innocent or guilty, this is not a trial, but ultimately, has enough questions be raised that we should not move on to another candidate, and that long list put together by the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society move on to another candidate, because ultimately the Supreme Court is not an entitlement. Just because you went to Yale or were president of your class doesn't entitle you to the Supreme Court. This is a sacred institution. And the people that should be on it, whether you disagree with their political or judicial philosophy at all, the people who should be on the Supreme Court should preserve the integrity of the court and be beyond the reproach of these difficult partisan times.
So there you have phase one, phase two, and an acknowledgement that we're in phase three, Fan. I mean, and I'm the one that's coining these phrases, but I think it's true. I think we are in phase three. Doesn't mean phase two is over, but clearly we're, I mean, Cory Booker, speaking for the Democratic base, is saying we're in phase three.
You heard Senator Booker admit essentially the scenario that you laid out, Jay. And look, Senator Booker was someone who was not going to vote for Judge Kavanaugh. He admits that to this day, that his mind was made up from the beginning. He says that he wanted to get more information from the hearings. But you go through the judicial philosophy, you go through the assaults. And I think that comment you just played from Senator Booker was essentially an admission that they were not able to derail him from that. Jay, I don't think there's something that can come out of this report on either of those first two phases that will keep Judge Kavanaugh off the bench. That's why they've shifted the target. But look, Jordan alluded to this. This is now a universe of three people in my mind. It's Senator Flake, Senator Collins, and Senator Murkowski. If he gets two of those three votes, he's going to be a justice. If he doesn't, Jay, he won't be.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. We want to know what you have to say, and we do want your comments on this. 1-800-684-3110. So if you're listening to us by radio, give us a call at 800-684-3110. If you're following us on Facebook or Twitter or TV, get your comments in also that way in the comment sections on Facebook or on Periscope. That's where our social media team's looking at those. We do want to hear from you. Let's go ahead and take
a call. There's a question coming in from Helen in New York on line three. Helen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Helen.
Jay.
Hey.
I'm just appalled at what's happening now.
Yep.
It's just too ridiculous. I'm in my 60s, and I've never seen this type of mess before. And I was wondering, is there a way to override this foolishness with the Democratic Party if Judge Kavanaugh is not...
No, you got it. I mean, the role, look, here's what the Constitution says. The president nominates with the advice and consent of the Senate. So you have both branches, two of the branches of government involved, selecting what will be the third branch of government, the judiciary. So Article 1, Article 2, and Article 3 all in play here. But no, if procedurally, Than... Let's quickly review that. Procedurally, what happens next? Assume the reports, the FBI reports are done today. What do they do tonight?
The first thing they will do is what is called file cloture, Jay. It's just simply a motion from Leader McConnell to start the end of the debate. Now, there will be no vote at that phase. There has to be a day in between, according to Rule 22. So 2 days after cloture is filed, which would be Friday if it's filed today, they would take a cloture vote, which requires 50 votes in the United States Senate. After that, Jay, there would be 30 hours of what's called post-cloture debate, and then there will be a final vote. So ultimately, he's got to clear those two votes, likely on Friday and Saturday, both at a 50-vote threshold. And, Jay, it goes back to Jordan's point about Merrick Garland. I mean, the Constitution says the Senate can vote, not vote. They can vote yes, they can vote no. But ultimately, it's theirs to decide. So you're looking at votes on Friday and Saturday.
What do you think happens here, Jordan?
I think, again, this all comes down to how if the Republicans hold together or not. I mean, I don't think it comes down to any Democrats on the actual vote. So it's do Republicans hold together. I do believe they will put out statements clarifying, not just statements here and there, but actual statements about how they will vote as it gets closer. Now, that may mean that they allow a vote on cloture, but they don't vote for the nominee. And I'm talking about Republicans here. So it could be a 24-hour period where you could get past cloture because there's some who believe that that's you should not obstruct and allow a vote and still vote no because that's past the obstruction part. But it's again, I think you're talking to three or four people right now, probably just three.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's Jeff Flake, Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins. And unless there's something in the FBI report that causes the nomination not to be withdrawn.
What would that be, Andy, if there was an allegation in the report, how would that come out? I mean, because what does this report look like?
The report simply is a statement of the facts that the FBI has elicited from witnesses that they've interviewed, and it just says...
No conclusions of law.
No, I talked to John Smith. John Smith says, I talked to Jane Doe. She says this, she says this, she says this, she denies this, she admits this, whatever, and it's a 2-3-page document, depending on how long. Remember, it's two agents. There's always two agents who are going to be interviewing these particular persons, and then they're going to just factually turn... If it's done right, If it's done right, and if it's the FBI that I know and I remember, that's the way they're going to do it, and they're going to turn it over, and you draw your own conclusions from the facts.
So, if that's the case,
yeah,
and there's no corroborating evidence of the sexual assault allegations,
right.
The question then is, it moves to the phase three, which they're already at, the judicial temperament issue.
That's the temperament issue that everybody's talking about, that he was too angry, that he was too hard, that he was too partisan. He was attacked about a horrible thing that he did. How was he supposed to react?
So, Harry, what's your reaction to that?
Well, I think Andy is correct. I think the Republicans, they have to steel themselves to the fact that they will face a firestorm. They faced a firestorm initially with respect to Judge Kavanaugh's judicial philosophy. They faced a firestorm with respect to the alleged sexual misconduct. Now they have to deal with allegations that Judge Kavanaugh violated some ethical rule, that he threw ice, that he lacks judicial temperament. And so the quintessential question becomes, will the Republicans stand up? Will they fight back? Or will they indeed cave? So, because the attacks are going to be unrelenting. This is all part of a premeditated intentional strategy on the part of the Democrats, yep. And the Republicans have to face the fact that those charges, those allegations, will indeed continue.
Yeah,
so will they stand up or will they not? Time will tell.
But I think there's a phase four to this, Stan, and that phase four is, let's assume you get through the judicial temperament phase. It's going to be they're just trying to run the clock out, wear the guy out.
Yeah, I think that's been the plan from the very beginning, Jay, and maybe even a phase five if he's confirmed. Maybe they would talk about trying to remove him from the court. But look, I will tell you this. Senator Corker actually said something that he thinks that Judge Kavanaugh is going to get confirmed because the Senate Democrats have overplayed their hand. And Jay, I think phases three, four, and five, as you've put them out, I think that's overplaying your hand. I think the American people want the Senate to do its job. Whether you support Judge Kavanaugh or you don't, they want their senators to go to the floor and have the courage to cast a vote. And on the judicial temperament question, Jay, look, you've got 300 decisions from the bench, more than a decade on the D.C. Circuit Court. I think that's what you look for to judicial temperament.
Do you think he goes to a phase four or just wear it out?
Only if they can get a Jeff Flake to continue to a phase, like basically make the threat that there's not enough of us there, but maybe there could be.
Yeah.
At that point, though, I think you pull it, you move on. I don't think you keep going. I think, you know, put someone else up. I mean, I feel honest about that. Why do you do this to him, to the country? Kind of call their bluff and say, okay, we'll find someone else who you
want. Well, that would be because
their judicial philosophy.
Because, yeah, Republicans didn't stick together. All right, we'll be back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are talking about the Kavanaugh nomination, as there are many reports the FBI will be concluding its investigation that was relaunched. This would be the seventh on Brett Kavanaugh in his career, and that they will be reporting this information to the White House and then the senators as well. That means that we could have as early as this evening kind of the timing begin for a vote on the Kavanaugh nomination. And we'll continue to update you on that. I mean, as we've said, that would be as the earliest would be the weekend. So we don't, this is all predicting what will be happening likely in the future. Any of this could move by a day or so. And I don't think that's such a huge issue. I don't think a day here or a day there is the biggest issue. I think it's days become a big issue. I want to go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's take Mike's call. Mike's been holding on line two. Mike in North Carolina, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you guys for all of you that you do. You do great work. My question is, it's obvious that Dr. Ford did not want to handle this in the public purview. And the leaking caused the firestorm that we had to deal with. Is there anything that's going to happen, regardless of how the nomination turns out, to go back and find out exactly how the leak occurred, who, you know, propagated it? And
I think that two things to your statement, because I think, one, there's a question about whether Dr. Ford wanted this to be go public with it. She ultimately decided she would. So whether she was forced into that or not by this leak, or she had a part to do with the leak, and the way Senator Feinstein said it was confidential, it was to be held as confidential. But let me go to Than then just quickly. Than, is there any investigation into that leak? I mean, I don't think long-term that's going to be the issue. The issue is whether Brett Kavanaugh gets confirmed or not. But short-term, is there any investigation to who did this?
I don't think so, Jordan. I mean, I don't think there's any justification for how Dianne Feinstein handled this. She could have handled it with confidence and yet still asked these questions in a private meeting or a closed session. I don't think they'll look into it. Here's what I do think will happen, though, Jordan. I think the next chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, likely to be Lindsey Graham, and he's already told you this, he has said, look, I know the playbook now. I know it's coming. We are not going to handle nominations like this in the future. So while I don't think there will be an investigation of Dianne Feinstein, the next time around when these allegations come down, I think you're going to see the committee and the floor move on a regimented timeline. And the only opportunity to get allegations like these out will be in that open time frame. I don't think they'll allow for delays like this in the future.
All right. Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Scott's calling from Virginia on line three. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thanks, Jordan. Good to be on.
Yep.
Hey, just I love the Booker quote that you guys played. You know, his comment that or the rationale that because they've asked so many questions that it's time to move on to another candidate. And also he cited that because we're in difficult partisan times in conjunction with that, that's rationale to move on. It's absurd that that's the rationale that they're trying
exactly
to use.
But that's precisely where they are. So precisely where this is right now is phase three. I mean, you are in phase three. Not that phase two is dead, although I think within a couple hours it's going to be. You're in phase three. And I don't think if it's just phase three and they're mad, Andy, at the way he answered questions after the way they attacked him, his family. And I mean, again, these were very serious allegations made against him.
Yeah, I don't think judicial temperament necessarily means that when you are attacked personally and your family is attacked and made the object of public ridicule, I don't think judicial temperament means that you shut your mouth and take it. I mean, you can fight back, and that's exactly what he did. And that's the kind of judge I want to see. I want to see a judge with some opinions and some strength of character to do the things that Kavanaugh did when he was attacked personally.
So, Harry, if you're looking at this as kind of just judging it from where it is right now, I think, as Jordan said, it comes down to three, and Than said, it comes down to three.
Absolutely.
And the fact is that they've done a very aggressive, I would call it, character assassination on Brett Kavanaugh. If, in fact, the FBI report comes back with no credible corroborating evidence, how does that leave it in your view? Because honestly, how do you knock them out at that point? They made allegations. They were investigated fully as they asked.
I think it will be difficult, but it's also important to remember that his nomination remains in a state of uncertainty and that the Democrats are unprepared to stop attacking the nominee and placing pressure on middle-of-the-road Republicans.
Yeah.
So I think that's the issue. I think in terms of justice and in terms of fairness, the nomination should be confirmed. But we live in a realm where it's all about power, it's all about politics, and at the end of the day, whatever phase we are in, at the bottom line is one issue, I think. Abortion. Dick Blumenthal, the senator from Connecticut, said as much today. So they're prepared to use any tactic in the book to defeat the nominee.
But the question here, I agree. But here's the question that what you said, Jordan, and I think this is part of this. This, if you look at where it is actually right today, assuming the FBI comes back with no conclusion, as Andy said, just a 302 report, and it says we couldn't find credible corroborating evidence, if that's the case. To judge him or deny him, it's only because the Republicans aren't standing together.
Yes, I do want to make that clear. The Democrats may say they don't like his personality. They don't like how he handled the hearing. They were never going to vote for him, though. They were all no votes. Every single one that he spoke to in that hearing in the Judiciary Committee was a no vote on Brett Kavanaugh and was already an announced no vote before he opened his mouth, before he had to come back after his judicial philosophy hearings and then to this personality here, his personal life hearings. They were no's before all of that.
Right.
Some didn't even meet with him, Democrats. He only met with 60-some-odd senators because many refused. That being said, it is Republicans who will be responsible for his failure. Now, I'm not saying it's every Republican personally. I'm saying it is Republican senators who have the majority. It would be Jeff Flake and Murkowski and Susan Collins.
I was going to ask that. What is he doing?
Playing games because he's retiring. So he's trying to make a name for himself before
if you want to vote no.
He's a weakling. Let's face it. Chris Coons gets in there 4 hours, works on him in the Judiciary Committee. He comes out, he folds his hands, he sits back, and he says, I'll vote aye to get advanced, but there's got to be an investigation.
And now he says, is there sound from Jeff Flake saying the partisan issue? Yeah, I want to play that if we have it. Let's go ahead and play it.
I was very troubled by the tone of the remarks. The interaction with the members was sharp and partisan, and that concerns me. And I tell myself, you give a little leeway because of what he's been through.
Well, people are alleging that he was guilty of rape. Right. I mean, do people forget what they were asking Brett Kavanaugh then? Attempted rape?
No, they were always just planning to move on. Jay, and during that hearing, I was critical.
I mean, what a bunch of nonsense when you listen to when you listen to what Senator Flake said. I mean, he defended himself. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I was critical of Cory Booker and Kamala Harris for running for president during that hearing. I think that's what Jeff Flake's doing. He just went to New Hampshire. So, you know, we can criticize the political motives on both sides. And I think all three of them, Jay, I think that's what they were doing.
All right, here's what we're doing. We're here for another 30 minutes. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So, again, as soon as we come back, we got one line open, and the lines are going to open up. So we'll do some calls even in the first segment, coming back in the second half hour. 800-684-3110. If you're not getting the full broadcast, remember, just go over to ACLJ.org, streaming it there, or Facebook or Periscope live streaming it there as well. Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so here we are in phase, I think clearly phase three of the judicial confirmation process. We're going to go right to our phones in a moment, but let me just lay it out very quickly for those just joining us. Phase one, judicial philosophy. That was the first hearings. Professor Hutchinson said this. I'm going to say it again in a short way, a concise way. He passed the judicial philosophy test, absolutely, even if he disagreed with his philosophy.
Absolutely. I mean, it was clear beyond question. That's why the Democrats were so prepared to move on quickly to phase two and to phase three.
Yeah, so phase two was the sexual assault allegations, and they were taken seriously, and there was an FBI investigation order, Andy, it was right. Ordered. It now looks like it's being completed and maybe even be done today. Let's quickly tell everybody what that's going to look like. Right now, there's no leaks of any corroborating evidence.
No, there isn't. And that means there probably isn't any, but we'll wait and we'll see what leaks there are, the 302s that tell us what happened. But that investigation simply was a further background investigation into the allegations made by these three women and perhaps others. And it's a factual investigation made by agents who are in the field. Two agents interview each person and come back with a factual statement of what they find. That's
right.
It.
Phase three, which is where we are right now, is the attack on judicial temperament, Jordan. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, and his personality. I mean, it's right. Like his personality at the hearing.
After he's been accused of...
Right, not his personality when he was being questioned on judicial philosophy.
Right.
This is his personality after he gets accused of attempted rape and these allegations of no cooperation, and these Republican senators agree to allow Dr. Ford to come testify, even though no one will agree that even acknowledge that her story is any... bit of truth, like even right. A bit of truth to it, who was actually present at the time, or even someone who was not even present, but around her at that time period. And yet they allowed this to happen. He lets them have it.
Yep.
As usual, these senators show they're very good at giving speeches.
They're not prepared.
Most are not prepared for responses. They don't like being... they don't like toughness. They love to act tough and act
right.
Mean, and they are nasty people. They are nasty.
Yep.
I think when President Trump says that, it's a real tone because it means something. It's different to be mean or kind of obnoxious and nasty.
Yeah.
And I think a good person to put that up for is like a Feinstein or a Leahy.
Yeah.
They both have this tone that doesn't sound so obnoxious, but they are mean. They are nasty.
Yeah.
Every question. Is so biting about the person
personally.
Durbin, I think he kind of meets all of those standards. He's more of a tough guy.
Yeah.
But how tough are they when they get someone going back at them? They
not
again.
So tough.
These are blue state senators. They don't ever have real opposition to them.
All right. So Than, where are we on the time frame? And then we're gonna we'll get calls right after the break. But where are we on the time frame? Exactly.
Well,
what do we expect to happen? I've got word that there could be a vote Saturday. I mean,
I think that's correct, Jay. I mean, I think they're waiting for the FBI to turn over their report, those 302s, as
Once
soon
that
as
happens,
they get
let's
that.
Assume that happens today. No corroborating evidence. What happens?
I believe Leader McConnell will file cloture tonight, which would set up a cloture vote on Friday, probably late in the day, and then a final vote on Saturday afternoon. Jay, I think that's the only thing they're waiting for. I don't think they know whether or not they have the votes, but I think they are committed to setting that clock in motion as soon as they have that report from the FBI, and that would be a cloture vote on Friday and a final vote on Saturday.
So... it's a yay or nay on Saturday, in your view.
That's right. And I think it's important to point out what Jordan did earlier, that in most cases, if you clear a cloture vote, you're fine on final. I think because of the dynamics here, I don't think that's true. I think both of those votes are a hurdle.
What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I think Than is right. Both of the votes are a hurdle, but I think it's going to clear cloture. And if he loses, it's going to be the Republicans that did it to him, not the Democrats.
Yeah, don't. I think it's obsessing over. Democrats will just be bonus votes if they come on board. They are not going to be this way here. It is Jeff Flake, Susan Collins, and Lisa Murkowski if there's a chance for Brett Kavanaugh. And that means that he got past this at the FBI report.
Harry?
Jordan's analysis is spot on, but I fear mushy Republicans.
Yeah, mushy Republicans. What does that mean? And it's the time is, it's days. Still days to go. All right. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook or Periscope, we've got a special video for you, as we always do with this segment. So we'll have that ready for you in just a moment. But again, ACLJ.org to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, we're in phase three of the fight for the judicial confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh. That is, now it is judicial temperament. We're going right to the phone zone. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go right to them.
Yeah, Betty in North Carolina, good question here. Betty, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Betty, go ahead. You're on.
Thank you. Love everything that you guys do.
Thanks.
I'm curious, if the Democrats get their way in all of this, what happens to Kavanaugh's career? Is he done as a in his federal judgeship?
You mean, if he goes to a vote and he's not confirmed? So technically, no. He's still sitting on the D.C. Court of Appeals. So it would not unless they would try some kind of impeachment action, which I can't. They'd have to have 67 votes in the United States Senate. That's not realistic, Jordan. But they have damaged him, his reputation, and it's gonna be hard. It's not impossible to get it back, but they have really hurt the man, and that's really unfortunate if these allegations, as it appears, were false. If that is what the FBI, if the FBI does a report and says, "Hey, there was no credible cooperative evidence on these allegations," well, then the three Republicans who asked for it should be voting yes.
They ought to,
right?
Yes,
that should be it.
That should be, but. But
they're changing. They're moving the goalposts.
They're going into phase the next phase.
Yeah.
For the Democrats. That's why I'm saying if they can use the Republicans, which they have to be successful, the Democrats, they have to use the Republicans to get to the next phase of attack. Jeff Flake is starting to appear that this FBI investigation that he said would be his conclusive about how he votes is now not. So he's opening that door, and so he's the Republican they're going to utilize. Obviously, to get to a Collins and Murkowski, I don't want to go. They have not made a lot of comments, so I don't want to say anything nasty about them. Other than say the truth is that, and I don't want it to be interpreted that way, is that they are very moderate. So I think that they are middle of the road Republicans, and they would agree with that statement. That means, though, that 95% of the time they vote the right way on issues you care about. There are and usually on judicial nominations, they are solid yes votes. They sometimes hold out to the end. They're not on the Judiciary Committee, so you don't get a lot of insight into where they are. But clearly, Jeff Flake is doing the bidding to get to the next phase of this battle for Democrats.
Yeah. Is that what you're picking up, Than? Is that what's going on here on Capitol Hill?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's what distinguishes Senator Collins and Senator Murkowski from Senator Flake. While they said they were open to this FBI investigation, they actually welcomed it. They liked the week delay. They haven't moved off that position, Jay, while Senator Flake has. So I suspect if it comes back clean, there's no new allegation that would be, you know, disqualifying. I think those two would be a yes vote. I don't know about Senator Flake because he has gone along with Democrats and changed the goalpost. Look, the Senate Democrats, Jay, they're not going to be satisfied.
No,
they're just
there's
not.
No way.
The question is, will Senate Republicans take this vote? And if they do, are there enough Republicans to get it over the line?
All right, let's go ahead and take Jeff on line six, Jordan.
Hey, Jeff, you're calling from Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thank you for all you do. I greatly appreciate it. My comment is pretty specifically that the Democrats have already won. They got to phrase the question through the media to the public. And so now if the liberal base wanted them to do more, they did. So if he's defeated, they've got turnout in the midterm elections. If Kavanaugh is confirmed and sits on the bench, they have a huge effort to push the base for the midterm election, saying, look at what Trump did. Look at the evil person he put on the bench.
Well, this is an interesting question, is what is the political ramifications of the confirmation? So I'll go to Jordan Fan first.
If he gets through the process, I think the Democrat base is kind of
deflated
because every time they're right on the edge of – kind of these great victories, they can't quite do it. And what I'd say it has more to do with the Senate than it does the House races.
Yeah, and I don't see the Senate switching to Democratic control.
Which again means that judicial confirmations will be up to Republicans. And
remember, this is a role of the United States Senate.
Yeah. So again, it might affect the interest in the left believing that the Democrats could get anything done. I mean, they've thrown everything they possibly can at this.
Yeah, I mean,
literally the kitchen sink.
I mean, I was going to ask you that, Harry. I mean, they literally, we're in phase three. We know there could be phase four would just be trying to wait it out. But it looks like Mitch McConnell, it's according to Fan. Let me go quickly to Fan, I'll go to Harry. Fan, it looks like McConnell's not going to let it go to phase four. He's going to call the vote.
They get
that FBI report, there's going to be cloture.
Yeah, he said both yesterday and today, Jay, that the vote would be this week on the floor of the Senate. So that's pretty public.
So that's blunting phase four here, Harry.
Absolutely. And it's important to blunt phase four because the Democrats are increasingly desperate on this. Senator Gillibrand of New York reaffirmed her opposition to Judge Kavanaugh in a Tuesday night tweet and said her colleagues must decide if women's voices, their traumas, and their stories matter to them in determining how to vote on this confirmation. Nowhere in the tweet was there any evidence that she was concerned about the presumption of innocence,
yep,
which we deploy in the United States.
All right, before we take a call, let me ask this to Andy. Andy, so the 302 reports are going to be done. The report's going to come out. If there was credible corroborative evidence, I suspect we probably would have heard by now, but let's assume for a moment for this. If there is credible corroborative evidence, his nomination would be over.
That's right. The three iffy Republicans are going to say no.
If there is no credible corroborative evidence,
they should say yes because that's what they said they were going to do.
I mean, it is that. I mean, it's that straightforward at that point.
It should be that straightforward.
Except Jeff Flake's moving the goalpost.
Right. We're seeing the goalpost moving, which is. I think, again, it's how far can they get a Republican to do their bidding to continue this fight against Brett Kavanaugh and to get to the next phase and to continue the war, hoping that it's also impacting the two senators not on the Judiciary Committee who are Republicans, Murkowski and Collins, who also are going to play an important role. Because I think we could go to Nancy's call in California. All of this is important. Of the numbers game is very important now as we get to this stage. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, fellas. I'm curious to know, is it possible that two out of our three iffy votes could take a pass on the vote, bringing it to 49-49, and then Kent come in and break the tie?
Well, it's a 50. It has to be 50-50. How would that work then? What do you mean? They're going to vote. I mean, no way they're not voting.
They're going to vote. I mean, theoretically, a tie at any number would require a tie-breaking vote, you know, if you had an absence in the Senate. Let's be honest. That's not happening here.
No. So here's the question. If you lose, let's say, Flake, but got Murkowski and you got Collins, he's confirmed, right? Now, there are some people that say, well, if you lost Murkowski and Flake, but you got Collins, and then could you get a couple of Democrats? Do you get Joe Manchin out of West Virginia? And people are shaking. Andy's saying no.
No, the Democrats are not going to be the ones that put him over. They're not going to do that.
That would be so. I mean, I just, that's not how you prepare for this. Anyway, so you don't need those kind of options. If it happened, would be some kind of miraculous event. So to see a Democrats come in to save a Republican nominee to the Supreme Court. So we don't need to think that way. We need to think in facts. Facts are 49-49, he lost. You know what I mean? You can't, you're not going to get, 50 is not enough. Even with Mike Pence, you've got to get over the line here. You cannot lose more than one Republican to get to,
and that's
to do
really
that.
You're shaking your head.
100%. And I think if he's confirmed, he'll be confirmed with Manchin and Heitkamp, but they will not be the deciding vote. They will hold out until he's confirmed. You can only lose one Republican.
So here's what Than's telling you. If, in fact, the Republicans stick together and Kavanaugh goes over 50, then you may see Heitkamp and Manchin join for their own political purposes to keep their seat. If he is short by a vote or two, do not expect them, is what Jordan's saying, do not expect them to put the Republican nominee over the top.
No, absolutely not. I don't think we're in a position where any Democrats are going to do Republicans' favor. In fact, that makes the no vote easier for a Joe Manchin and a Heidi Heitkamp.
How do the numbers look in West Virginia for Manchin right now?
He still has nearly a 9-point lead. So, again, unless he would like to, I think, vote yes if the Republicans are already there. That makes his election, re-election easier if he can vote for Brett Kavanaugh. But if there's a reason, he will not be the vote for him. It's just, he's not going to, that would be too much for Democrats.
Wait, let's take a look at that. I want to talk about the Senate for a moment here. Then we'll, in the last segment, we'll take all the calls that are, so everybody on hold, stay on the line here. But Than, looking at the Senate seats that could switch Republican, where do you see right now?
The one that's most likely to switch to Republican is Heidi Heitkamp's seat. That's why she's talked about so much in this process. She's
what
down
about Bill
10
Nelson
points
in Florida?
I think he is a likely switch as well. I'd put him actually more likely than Joe Manchin, Jay. I think so. Joe Manchin has a fairly decent lead at this point.
But I don't think Bill Nelson has a chance of voting for this nominee.
No.
That's correct. He's already said he's a no.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We're down to just a handful. It's a handful of Republicans that really matter here. Kind of let the Democrats matter in the sense of they are influencing these Republicans. That's why the Democrats matter, is that they're influencing these three Republicans. We're trying to.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take last segment of the broadcast coming up. You know what that means. We're going to take all of your phone calls. So if you want to get a call in, 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed right now. May open up a couple during the break here. So 800-684-3110. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, a good way to get your comments in is to do it right, post them, and our social media team looking at those right now. We've got a couple that we're going to take when we come back from the break. Mitch McConnell says he's going to make this go forward. Very aggressively, he's saying this. I'm going to play this when we come back from the break. It's a very, very strong soundbite. I think the vote's going to happen. All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, also, you can support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org and follow us on Twitter. I've got a Twitter feed, Jordan does, and the ACLJ. Back with more in a moment.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad. standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So the question, and we're going to get to all of your questions, as many as we can, is Mitch McConnell going to have a vote? Is he going to do this? Or are these protesters and all this impact, they're impacting Senator Flake? Here's what he said.
I don't care how many members they chase, how many people they harass here in the halls. I want to make one thing perfectly clear. We will not be intimidated by these people. This is all part of the organized effort to delay, obstruct, and intimidate, including those of us who will be voting this week.
So how do you listen to that, Jordan? What does it tell you?
I think that you listen to that and you say that there's just as much pressure on the other side. The only outlier I see right now is the FBI. I mean, nothing is leaked to indicate this, but we don't know.
That will be
if that gives Jeff Flake enough to tell, you know, if there's something that gives Jeff Flake enough to tell Mitch McConnell, listen, pressure me all you want. I'm not doing it. Here's why. And I can
not because of judicial temperament.
Nope.
But because there's something in the FBI 302s.
All right. And if there was, we'd have known about it by now. I can tell you that.
You think so?
Yes.
All right. Let's go ahead and grab these calls as many as we can.
Yep. Let's go to Cambria and Utah on line one. Cambria, welcome to JSecio Live.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yep.
My question is, can we petition our own senators to launch an investigation into Feinstein?
Are you talking about for the leak of the letter?
Yes, sir.
I think Tom Cotton said something, didn't he, Than?
He did, and Lindsey Graham did as well. Here's why I'm a little leery on that, Jay. We know where the leak came from. It came from either Senator Dianne Feinstein or her staff. So I'm not real sure what an investigation helps you with. We know it was them.
Yeah, and I think that's where we don't. The focus is going to be, does Brett Kavanaugh get on the Supreme Court or not for life or not? I mean, and by the way, if not, we go through this process yet again in a even more politically tumultuous time period.
I think if, in fact, the report comes back that there's nothing in that 302s, Andy, if there's no credible cooperative evidence, I think he gets confirmed. Barely, but gets confirmed.
Well, I mean, he should, because that's what these three Republicans have said they're waiting to see. That's what they're waiting to see. But I can tell you this, don't count on Jeff Flake's vote.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, that means you've got to have the other two. You got to have the other two. All right, let's go ahead and take another call.
Yep, back to the phones. We're going. Jim in Washington State, line three. Jim, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Great job. I'm following you, Jay, since the 80s.
Hey, great. We're having a little trouble hearing you. Yeah. Are you on a speakerphone? Go ahead.
I'm not.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, bottom line, I guess, I'm probably going to vote, but if Judge Kavanaugh does not get confirmed, it just kind of goes to Jordan's point that he hasn't said this. I'm going to say this myself. It seems that the Republicans as a majority are spineless. I mean, what's the point of voting in Republicans if, again, another term?
I get the feeling what we've been kind of getting rid of those Republicans. Jeff Flake is on the way out. So I think there's actually a case you can make, Jim, to get out there and vote because the Jeff Flake types are on the way out. The Corker who was there on this issue, but those types have decided not to be there still. So I'm not going to say spineless, but I'm going to say the more moderate wing has been leaving. So this is the time to fill those vacancies. Yeah. So that's why remember, we're not talking about most of the Republicans. We're talking about a handful, one who we can replace, actually, potentially with a much more conservative person in Arizona.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. Harry, what do you think?
Well, I think Jordan is correct. I think most Republicans have been extremely strong with respect to this particular nominee. We are only talking about three Republicans at the most. And I think Jordan is correct in suggesting or forecasting that many of those individuals are on the way out or will soon be on the way
out.
Now,
I will say that. I agree. If there is, though, Andy, in the 302 reports, if there were to be – cooperative evidence of one of the allegations. That would also be a game changer, I think.
Well, I mean, obviously that would be a problem for the three who are
yes.
on the fence, and it may cause others as well. But I think if there was,
you think we'd know.
We would know it by now.
Yeah. I think if there is anything there, it's a withdrawn nomination. But it's kind of a vote on that if there's something on those allegations.
We'll take Robert's call in Florida in a minute, but I want to fan. But you, McConnell says that you think that cloture, if the FBI report comes back in sometime today, you think cloture tonight?
I think it'll be filed tonight, and the vote would be Friday. Yeah. So, look, if people want to look at C-SPAN 2, look and see if Leader McConnell goes down to the floor. You'll have your answer then.
All right. Let's go ahead and take another call.
All right. Back to the phones. We go. Let's go to Robert in Florida online, too. Robert, welcome.
Hi, Robert,
to
go ahead.
Live.
Hi. I got two quick questions. One, does the FBI report first go to the president before it goes to the Senate? And do you believe that it would make any difference as far as the order that the roll is called in the Senate?
Now, I don't think the order will make any difference. That's the easy one. Now, technically, this is how it would work. I'm not saying it would go to the president, but it's an executive branch function. So the FBI report would go to the executive branch, but then it would be, as part of this process, turned over to the legislative branch, which would be the Senate. So Judiciary Committee. And I think that's how it would go, Harry.
I don't think
the president, could he get a preview? I have no idea.
So,
I mean, technically, they report to the president.
So judges are Article 3
right.
judges, primarily. And then we have the executive branch, Article 2.
Right.
And then Congress exercises an Article 1 role.
Right.
And it's time for the Senate to exercise its advise and consent role expeditiously if the FBI report is
comes
clean.
Back clear. Yep.
All right, back to the phones. Take another call. Let's go to Marine in Indiana online for Marine. Welcome
Hi, Marine,
to JSecu Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I love your show and listen as often as I can. I've heard different reports that if the judge is confirmed, the Democrats will try to impeach him. So my question is whether or not this is something that could actually really happen,
well, I mean,
and if so, what is the legal threshold that is required?
Well, technically, it can happen. I mean, you could House could vote to impeach, and then the Senate could convict with 2/3, 67 votes. Not likely. I mean, I can't imagine unless there's something in these allegations that were so salacious and so verified.
And if that's the case, he's not getting to the court.
Yeah.
So I think that...
it's a question of whether you... Well,
right,
I didn't want to speculate. It's not fair to speculate on that when we have no evidence of corroborating evidence here.
No.
In fact, you're really getting... I mean, I don't want to get into it too deep with a minute and 40 seconds left.
If you
left,
give them impeachment, you're already saying there's a...
Yeah, I mean, so... But look what you... What are you seeing today in the news? I mean...
That.
You're seeing...
He needs to withdraw regardless.
Yeah. They want him withdrawing regardless. Why? Because they know there's not going to be... What's Andy saying? They know there's not going to be anything in those 302s. It looks like it right now. And obviously, if there was something, it'd be a game changer. But if there's not, that should also be the game changer. That should be it at that point. If there's nothing in those 302s... So there's not a formal... Here's our report, basically. This is what we found based on the facts that we interviewed.
That's right. You draw the conclusions from the report that we have. And let me tell you something else, Jay. I've prosecuted a lot of cases in 43 years. There is corroboration, and there is corroboration.
Right. Right. Precisely. All right, so, Than, let's do some predictions here. Go ahead.
I think the FBI gets its report back today. There's a vote from Cloture on Friday. It clears, and then he gets confirmed with, I'll say, 52 votes, because Manchin and Heitkamp give you meaningless votes after Republicans
Jordan,
get to 50.
Yeah, I think that, again, it's coming to a close. And there will either be a vote scheduled, or there's something in the report where it's withdrawn.
If it gets scheduled, you think he gets confirmed?
I do think so. I think that would be surprising if they go forward with a vote after the FBI report's out and they know what's in it, and then the nomination. And then
Harry,
gets
really
down.
Quickly, same thing.
Well, absolutely. So I think Jordan's analysis.
If it gets
spot
to the
on.
Floor, it's a vote.
Yes,
Andy,
don't count on Flake.
Andy's worried about Jeff Flake. I think you got to assume that's probably right. It's probably a no vote. But anyways, he still could be confirmed. All right, as more facts develop, we will let you know. Talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.